Moncrief on News Talk.
After various relationships in her 20s and 30s, some relatively successful, some draining, Melissa Fabos decided to give all that up and be celibate for a year. Her book about that experience is called The Dry Season. Melissa, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Why did you do it?
Well, I'd been in nonstop relationships from about 15 until almost 35. And I thought by that age, you know, a lot of my friends were getting married and having longer term relationships. And though I felt like I was working really hard in those relationships, trying to be a good partner, it just wasn't working out for me. And I thought I should be better at it by I'd certainly logged my 10,000 hours. And so at about 34 years old, I had a pretty catastrophic relationship that was quite addictive and sort of decimated my life. And I thought, let me take a break and take some stock and see what's gone wrong here. So I decided to start with 3 months of celibacy, which I know does not sound like a lot to many people, but to me, it was a radical departure from what I'd been doing up until then. And it was 3 months became six, became nine, and it ended up being the best year of my life up until that point.
When you reached the 3 month mark, did you kind of think, this isn't so hard?
I did. And I also, you know, I simultaneously was having a fantastic time. And I also was starting to get the sense that if I wanted to induce a real lasting change in my relationship to relationships, I was going to have to take a bit more of an active role. Simply stopping engaging in relationships was not actually going to be enough to prevent me from returning to my old patterns. And so at that point, I decided to make an inventory of all my past relationships to see where I was going wrong so that I could go about doing it in a different way when I decided to sort of recommence.
And when you say celibacy, obviously that means not having sex, but you also, did you kind of refrain from even making any new friendships or anything that potentially might turn into a sexual relationship at some point?
I did. And it didn't start that way because at first I thought, what's the common denominator here? It must be sex because that was sort of the most obvious thing. But pretty quickly, I would say within weeks of my celibacy, I had some kind of little interaction, a flirtation maybe, maybe talked to a friend that had a little bit of a sexual charge. And I got a little dose of those exciting brain chemicals. And I thought, oh, wait, that's the problem here. It's not actually the sex. It has more to do with sort of chasing the kind of psychological, maybe neurological high that I then sort of place at the center of my life and start to prioritize over everything else. I really need to divest from all of it. So I sort of redrew the definition of my celibacy so that it included flirting, dating, anything even adjacent to that, so that I could truly experience being sort of without that kind of titillation in my life and really focus on the other aspects of my life and my relationship with myself.
And did you miss it at any point? Just you know, girls got needs and all that stuff.
Yeah. You know, there definitely were some moments, and there were a couple of moments that I describe in the book. I open with one where I sort of see an attractive person and kind of go into autopilot and start to do my old thing. But I really was so fulfilled during that time, and I was starting to get so much insight into where I had been going wrong in my relationships and starting to feel like I was capable of a new level of contentment and really on the cusp of real change, and I didn't want to risk that. And so in the end, I managed to resist those moments of temptation and really stick to it for the full year. And I'll say by the end of it, I wasn't having any moments like that. By the end, I really felt so contented and so happy with myself and with the rest of my life at that point that I seriously wondered whether I would ever want to be in another intimate relationship.
Wow. So after the year, when you eventually, I assume, went on a date with someone, or did you say, well, actually, I haven't had sex for a year. frighten them a little bit.
I did. You know, it's funny. While this wasn't the goal at all, and I truly was so happy by the end of it, I did meet someone not long after the year ended. And I've now been with her for going on 9 years, and we've been married for 4. And so, yeah, when we first started dating, I said right up front, I said, look, I've spent a year intentionally celibate. It was the best year of my life. I learned a lot about myself. Here are the things that I haven't communicated to partners in the past that I now know are true. And they included, I need a lot of alone time. My friendships are very important to me. They can't always take, you know, backseat to my primary romantic relationship and a bunch of other things. And I said, I understand if this doesn't sound like it will work for you, but we should probably stop right here if not. And she said, that sounds amazing. I'm so glad you know yourself. Let's do this. So onward we went.
Okay, because it sounds, maybe I'm getting this completely wrong. It sounds to me, Melissa, that what you discovered in the year was that you had to be kind of happy with yourself before you'd be in a position to conduct a healthy relationship.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I think if you had asked me before the celibacy, are you happy with yourself? I would have said yes. I was very successful in many other areas of my life. But what I realized in my reflection that year was that when I got involved with a new partner, I would really put that relationship at the center of my life and do a lot of work trying to accommodate it and sort of curtail all my other passions, because I had gotten messaging as a young person that that's what it meant to be a good partner. You compromised, right? And now while I believe that compromise is certainly a part of any long-term relationship, I know that sort of contorting and minimizing the parts of me that are truly immovable and are not going to change doesn't actually serve me or my partner. And it actually sets a time limit on the relationship, because it's not truly sustainable long term for me to not be forthright about who I truly am and what I need in a relationship. So now we're both committed to a relationship where we make enough room for the people that we actually are. And that's what's made it a sustainable thing.
Yeah. And would you do it again? I know it's difficult if you're in a relationship to say, I want to be celibate for a while, but maybe sometimes that might be a good thing.
I absolutely think so. And you know what? We actually have, over the course of our 8.5 year relationship, we've taken periods where we thought, you know what? I think there's a lot of like internal pressure building up, or things are getting a little convoluted between us. Let's take a little time and have a reset so that we can sort of reintroduce ourselves and really try to be conscious in the ways that we are intimate with each other. So if anyone is thinking about it, or it sounds like a good idea, even a scarily good idea, I do recommend it. It's really helpful to set something down when you feel a little bit dependent on it, because sometimes there can be a great period of abundance that can follow that.
Well, actually, Melissa, a lot of people are texting in to say they've gone through sustained, and they're in relationships, that they've gone through sustained periods of celibacy. All of them, of course, have young children. I don't know if that's a common factor or not.
That doesn't surprise me at all. And, you know, it's funny because I felt sort of alone in this experience before I wrote about it. And now that I've published the book, I've talked to so many people who are married, unmarried, voluntary, involuntary. And I think all of us had a somewhat fraught relationship to aloneness. We were afraid of it, or we really needed it and we weren't giving it to ourselves, or we didn't think there was room in our relationship to take time for ourselves. But in all of our cases, I've talked to so many people who, when they were able to address their relationship with themselves and with aloneness, they were much more able to connect with other people and with their partners again.
Melissa Fabas is the author of The Dry Season. Melissa, thanks a million for speaking with us today.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.